For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Well, that was gross. Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Sacramento Kings back at it, this time in San Francisco. After they got clapped by the Knicks, a showdown with Steph Curry and the red-hot Golden State Warriors. Sabonis was questionable going into the game. He did not end up playing. Not sure it would have mattered too much in this one tonight. No. Sacramento allowed almost everybody but Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler to dominate this game. Steph and Jimmy combined for 17, but Golden State was able to knock down 22 of 39 from downtown. They had 32 points in the paint in the second half. They knocked down 10 threes in the second half, and after the Kings were able to cut it to four after being down 23, the Warriors cruised to a victory tonight over Sacramento, 130 to 104. The second consecutive game in which Sacramento has allowed 130-plus points. With the loss, it's the Kings' third straight loss. They're now 33-32, and they play tomorrow night, second night of a back-to-back in Phoenix against a desperate Suns team who's trying to fight for a play-in spot. Yeah. This podcast is always presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
Not good. You know, that was one of those games too where it's like there's longer commercial breaks. It just feels longer. Everything felt longer. It wasn't fun. I didn't have fun sitting watching this game. And that made me sad in so many different ways, just as a basketball fan, as a Kings fan. Because we've also seen this team, this roster, this specific roster play so much better basketball together. That's like, that's all I was asking for tonight. I know I got low standards. I was like, even if they lost, but they played good basketball. I think I said that on our preview. I'm like, I'm feeling good because seeing them lose against the Denver Nuggets, it was a whole different feeling for me. And some people go, is that a moral victory? No. Open your stupid eyes and see what's happening on the floor. And then you see what's happening on the floor these last two games. And you're like, shut my eyes. Like, stab my eyes. Do anything you can to just like make me not be able to see what I'm seeing. Awful.
Well, it goes to something that we talked about during the stretch of good basketball from Sacramento. There were a lot of numbers that were trending in the right direction, but we also added a caveat every time we talked about it, yep. Which was, okay, they're doing this against teams that are shorthanded or banged up, and they're still not finding ways to beat the good teams.
For sure.
They're competitive in those games against Denver.
Yes.
They beat Houston. Houston's been kind of up and down, as we know.
Yep.
And then we saw the Clippers game where you felt like they should have won that game. They did not. Kawhi Leonard, game winner. But it was also, you saw some bad teams during that stretch too.
Sure.
And it wasn't to discount what they were doing.
No.
Because this team had struggled in those situations previously, right? Even against bad teams, they were giving up a ton of points. So when that stretch where it's like, oh, maybe it is coming together. But everything we all looked ahead at was the schedule go. All right, what's it going to look like when you're playing teams that are around you or ahead of you?
And every time, though, we said, if they play like this, they've got a chance. You know, that's what we would say.
Right.
And for some reason, against some of these more physical teams or these teams that are re-energized, like the Golden State Warriors, they play a different style. And the style is they might stick to things on their game plan, but then they forget to do the other things like play with heart, dive on loose balls, put a body on someone in a simple box out. Just like the desperation, the urgency, the I want this more than anything else in my life. I'm going to die if I don't win this game kind of vibe. Like, you've seen that from this team, even in some of those wins against the bad teams or whatever. And it's like, that's all I wanted to see tonight. That's all I wanted to see against the Knicks. I was like, okay, if I don't see that against the Knicks, at least you got to see that on the big stage against the Warriors. And you didn't, minus some. It was bad.
It was really bad tonight.
Really? Yeah, especially really bad.
Coming off the heels of the Knicks game. And again, we're not naive, okay? The Knicks, breaking news at this hour. Yes. Better than the Sacramento Kings. The Golden State Warriors. Especially better after Jimmy Butler, the Jimmy Butler acquisition, better than the Sacramento Kings. But the things that you see tonight that just irk you, or the things you were just talking about.
Yes.
And that is like, okay, Malik comes down, misses a three. He got a good look, and you know, you're trying to find a rhythm. He was 0-for-5 tonight from downtown. Okay. Well, get back in transition. His man was Buddy Hield. I don't know what Malik was looking at, but the guy with the ball is the most important guy on the floor,
gotta
right?
Gotta stop ball.
Okay? You gotta stop ball. No one stopped ball. Buddy Hield walks into a transition three ball. That can't happen. That can't happen. Zach LaVine gets his pocket picked.
By Buddy.
By Buddy Hield. Buddy, and you know what Buddy does? He goes and gets the ball. And they go make a play. Zach LaVine didn't try. He's looking around going,
I think he thought it was going to roll out of bounds. Until the whistle blows. Until the whistle blows.
I'm seeing that from Golden State. I'm not seeing that from Sacramento.
Yeah.
Late, what, third quarter? Was it end of the third quarter with Guy Santos? End of third quarter, right? Was it end of third?
Yes.
When Guy Santos has the putback. That wasn't him just chilling in the dunker spot. No, he got there because off the miss, he crashed. No one boxed him out. Monk could have boxed him out. No, watching the ball. Santos gets in position, gets the rebound, puts it up and in. Details. These are details. These are things that are so important in an NBA game. And
especially against a good team that is going to execute these
details. Those are controllables. Those are controllables. You may miss shots on the night. It happens.
Fine.
But you know what I can control? If I'm making the right place, if I'm locked in, no understanding, like simple things. You know, when you don't just stare at the ball as it's being shot, because someone could be crashing. See man, see ball. I mean, these are fundamental things that like you have to be locked in at this level. If you're not, you're a losing team. Yeah, this is what losing teams, this is how they play.
Well, there's even a play down the stretch where it was a baseline out of bounds, and I believe it was Moody inbounded it to whoever.
And LaRavia came over.
Yeah, and then he got that back door. Now, here's where there was no help there, and the help would have technically been Keegan Murray, but he was glued to Steph Curry. There was even a video of it of Steph trolling and just looking at Keegan and going, should have been there. Like,
well,
such
I'm glad you brought this up. The Kings game plan tonight.
Yeah.
They defended Steph tonight like teams and even Sacramento did in the first couple of matchups before Jimmy, before the Warriors had this like confidence in playing well and like super connected. And it was like, let's just take Steph out of the game. It's not a bad game plan if everybody else is locked in. But to me, with this specific roster and in a lineup where you're not starting Keon Ellis either, I don't think you can do that. Because, yeah, you take Steph out of the game, okay? You take Steph out of the game, which, by the way, he still had an imprint on the game with good screens, and they'd made some other adjustments we'll talk about. But you also take Keegan Murray out of the play. Keegan Murray's help defense is out the window now because you are focused on Steph Curry. Just play this guy straight up, and you have to live with the results. And I understand he can get it going, but tonight what it led to was no help defense, and then they were just picking people apart. And then the other thing,
yeah,
I understand, hey, certain guys are not hot guys. Like, we're going to have to live with GP2 launching threes. GP2 hit a contested one. I think Devin Carter was closing out. He knocked it on. Okay. Some of the other ones, He's a 28% three-point shooter. You say live with it. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm not living with
it. Play basketball the right way. Get a hand in the face. Do what you have to do.
We're not staring at the guy and allowing him to shoot threes.
It's such ugly basketball.
There was an example tonight. Moses Moody. Same thing that happened with OG Anunoby in the Knicks game, where Moses Moody, wide open. Moses Moody is shooting 38% from three. It seems like he shoots 77% from three against Sacramento.
Correct.
Guy's wide open. No one comes over to help. Monk's staring around. No one closes out. He buries it. He buries it. Quinn Post.
Oh, God.
Everybody knows he can shoot threes.
He can shoot threes.
I'm just not going to close out. Mm-hmm. Just going to let it happen.
It's like they were told a game plan. It's like, we can live with that person shooting. When that is said, it doesn't mean like literally you don't have to do anything else as part of the job. Like you still have to just like play the fundamentals of it. Like, we can live with that person shooting, but contest, but close out, but do something else. Unless that wasn't the game plan. And I, going back to what you said about the defensive game plan on Steph Curry, there's so much of me that just loves it so much, because they do a great job of slowing him down. But the team has not only adjusted from a roster standpoint, the team, this Warriors team, does such a great job of adjusting in game to what is happening. And they have other pieces that can still get things done on the floor. So the Kings needed to adjust to that. I think one of their adjustments was going into the second half. They started Trey Lyles instead of Jonas Valanciunas, which, great. Like, better matchup. Like, understand.
Yes. And I want to hit on that for a second.
Okay.
Because it goes back to what I was just saying about Keegan Murray with their defensive game plan on Steph. So you take him completely out of the game. Okay.
Yeah.
You Keegan's focused on that. Can't help. Valanciunas has to worry about Quinton Post, who could stretch the floor. Valanciunas is he's not helping. No. So he's not help. Then you've got your other guys in your lineup are not good defenders. Okay. DeMar DeRozan, not a good defender. Monk has moments. He gets burned. All right. LaVine, same thing. So what's this leading to if you're defending like that? You're just really just going to focus on Steph Curry and acting like none of those other guys are going to be able to knock down open shots?
With this roster, they can not only knock down open shots, they have a different type of flow to their offense, their game, where they're empowered by Steph Curry not getting the basketball. They're like, okay, well, we got to step up. Whatever Jimmy Butler put in their fucking coffee and gave to all of them to play some better basketball, it's working. I'm kidding. I don't think that's really what it is. I just truly believe that the type of standard that he brings to the floor, everyone's like, okay, we want to follow because we want this. The we want this mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, even if Steph isn't doing his thing, we want this enough. And it's not like I can see this Warriors team isn't acting like, oh, we can do this without Steph. No, no, no. They're just like, okay, let's do it for him. Let's do it for each other. It's a lot of togetherness for them right now. And it looks great. I mean, I was saying that to Deuce too. Like, they're playing not only some really good basketball tonight, they just look so dominant out there. But the Kings, they haven't looked this shitty two games in a row for a long time, for a little bit.
A team like Oklahoma City
can
get away with defending stuff like that because they've got switchable guys everywhere, ball hawks who are on a string defensively. They've got length and size and versatility. This team is not in a position to defend Steph Curry like that. And in the second half, what they did a much better job of too, Golden State, even when the Kings made the switch and put Lyles in there, which I thought was a right move tonight, was they got the ball to him sooner and they started setting screens like right at midcourt to get Curry downhill.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing more off ball in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, in the first half. In the second half, he did have the ball more often.
Yes.
Which became problematic. And then the Kings obviously kind of changed coverages. They were switching a little bit more too. But just a really tough night. And I think that was very problematic tonight. But the other things too just killed you. I mean, it's like, the details, if you're not locked into those details, good luck.
It's something we used to say against this Warriors team. It was like, Okay, you have to play some perfect basketball if you want to get things done against this team, Steve Kerr, the way that they coach. I mean, this is even with Clay still on the squad, Wiggins, whatever. And it's just, again, they play discipline together, all the things. We finally, especially in the beginning of this season, not beginning, but like after they had that good start, then when they started going downhill and needed to make their adjustments, they made their adjustments. But they made their adjustments not only to the roster, but to their mentality as well. And when I see that for a team, I know you have one of the best players of all time on your squad. I'm always just like, God, don't other teams kind of look at that and go like, we want to shift our mentality. Like, we want to play with that type of urgency, that type of fire, desperation. I mean, whatever your passion, I don't know.
Well, with Golden State, you have, like you just said, one of the best to ever do in Steph Curry.
Ever.
Who's also one of the most selfless stars we have ever seen in this game, okay?
Yep.
That's going to rub off on people. And then you add someone like Jimmy Butler, who when Jimmy Butler is locked in and engaged like he is right now, you know, and happy, like he's happy to be out of Miami. He didn't like how the situation ended there. He's ready to leave. There's a confidence. Like, so you've got confidence and selflessness. That's a dangerous combination for a team. Yeah. And obviously you have to be good too, right? Like you have to have like legit talent. But I mean, you had guys contribute tonight. Like Kuminga comes back for the first time since January 4th. 18 points on 7 of 10. Got so how many easy dunks did he have in that second half when they were just getting picked apart? That was something that, Morgan, I'm sorry. Getting picked apart on give and goes?
Like, picked apart.
Just a give and go.
Where it was
cut
just,
to the basket.
It was so simple where it's like, you just think about it a little bit longer. Get more physical with someone. So, I don't know, just, like, lock in.
Yeah, I also didn't like the idea of sending two, like, what they were doing late in that game, third quarter, fourth quarter, on this ball screen, they were sending two on the Steph. And then the guy would just roll to the basket, and I'm just like, no, like, just let, if Keegan's on him, let him play Steph straight up. He's good enough to do, I've seen him do it.
And not only that, though, it's like, it's one of those players that if you send two or blitz them, they make the right decision. So all it's going to do is F with the rest of your defensive possession, you know? And like, that's.
You're telling me Steph, Steph's never seen that before.
Like,
oh,
but like,
here's a double.
And it's like, that man loves to see a double coming. Like, you, of course you do, because he's going to make the first quick decision. And it's the same thing that you can see Luka do, LeBron do. I mean, some of the greats in this game, it's just really hard to blitz them because they're such smart, decisive players that they're going to make you pay for it. And that's what starts to happen. And it's even more deflating than just a breakdown. It's like, usually ends up being a wide open dunk or a lane to the basket or whatever it is.
I feel like everything was open tonight for Golden State.
You know?
They shot 57.7%. They were 22 of 39 from three. That's 56.4%. They out-rebounded the Kings by 13 tonight. They had 35 assists in this game. And we mentioned this. Like, this is a game where Steph Curry had 11 points. Jimmy Butler had 6. Draymond Green, with a season-high 23 points tonight. 8 of 14, 4 of 7 from 3. Moses Moody knocked down 4 of 6 from downtown. He had 17. GP2, coming off a career game the other night, knocked down 3 of 4 from downtown, and Buddy Hield had 4 of 6 from downtown. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was barf. And now it's...
It's annoying.
It's annoying because I just believed that they would feel something after that really bad loss against the Knicks, where they would just bring it tonight. I wasn't expecting a win. I'm sorry. The way that the Warriors have been playing, you mentioned this to me on our little preview about Jonathan Kuminga.
what? I'm just laughing because that was my thing. I'm like, on the preview, I'm like, look, is there a chance Kuminga kind of disrupts what the Warriors are doing right now? Could it actually be a bad thing? Could it help Sacramento?
You brought that up. Ali LaForce brought it up too in a hit. And I thought it, and I was like interested in that angle And he, so the whole thing was that he was going to play in 5 minute increments or like under 5 minute increments. And I mean, with the time, he was so efficient with even the time that he was in, just getting his groove back and feeling good against this Kings team. It was the perfect game for him to come back in and to feel good because nobody felt the Kings out there. Nobody. And Doug, you know, Christy prides himself on like, you know, I really want this team to be physical and make themselves felt and blah, 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 and their presence. And we just talked about that last game, how there was no presence. And you're going to do that again? After we've seen you do this against even good teams, even if it didn't result in a W, you still did it. You've done it.
I think the problem here is your main starting group doesn't have a lot of those guys who are doing that. That's just not in their DNA. Like, I'm sorry, like Malik is not playing that way. DeRozan is not playing that way. LaVine is not, right? Like, yeah. Keegan does. Keon does. Laravia has that in him. Those are your young guys, and they're not the ones playing big time minutes. And look, that's the other thing. I'm just watching this team. I just, obviously, it's tough to figure out your identity when Sabonis isn't there, right? They're now 2-4 without Sabonis during the stretch, right? 6 games without him. Could he come back against Phoenix? I guess it's possible. He did practice yesterday. Mm. I thought, oh, maybe he's going to play against Golden State. He's not, he didn't play tonight.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he played against Phoenix, but who knows? I just, what are they good at? Like, what's this team good at? Like, what's their identity? Like, you watch Golden State, you're like, oh, off-ball movement, they've got shooting, and they play defense. There's sometimes Sacramento's offense looks good, sometimes. The defense, hit or miss, they have stretches.
Definitely hit or miss.
But it's not like, hey, Sacramento, they play fast. Sometimes they do, mm-hmm. and sometimes it looks great. But then they play really slow sometimes. Yeah. Like, so, wait, what are you? And that's what I struggle with this team. Like 2 years ago, and I'm not just saying this because they were good, yeah. right? They won 48 games that year. You knew what they were. Like, hey, this Sacramento team is going to get up and down the floor. They've got great balance. They have, you know, that year it seemed like 7 guys who scored 30 or more in a game, mm-hmm. right? They play fast. They move the ball. DHO game. They get after.
Not great on the defensive end, but hey, they push the shit out of the basketball.
And they shoot.
Yep.
They move the ball.
They shoot well.
They share the rock. And I'm like, I don't know. Like sometimes they share the rock. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes they play defense. Sometimes they shoot well. Sometimes they don't. It's just they don't have an identity, and that's what's tough. And it's something I've thought about a lot. And we've said this so many times throughout the years in Sacramento is you just have guys that are miscast. Like we had talked about this with De'Aaron, and you had long said, you used to say you didn't think De'Aaron was a number one.
Mm-hmm.
So he's miscast. Yeah. Or Harrison Barnes, when he was first traded to Sacramento, he was like a number two. And it's like, yeah, he's miscast.
Yeah.
Right now you go, okay, Malik Monk, good player. I like Malik. I like his confidence. I love what he brings to a team. I think he's miscast right
as
now.
As a starting point guard in the NBA, yes.
And so that's an issue, right?
Yeah.
So you lack an identity. I don't know what you are. And your point guard situation, what is it? It's Malik question marks. So
it's you have a lot of question marks. And I think, you know, if you wanted to go I was going to call it the excuse route of saying, you know, an in-season trade can be so difficult, blah, blah. But then you look at some of these other teams like the Warriors with an in-season trade and trading away a big piece for them and Andrew Wiggins and getting someone to the caliber of Jimmy Butler and being able to plug him in. Again, when you have one of the best players in the world, you should expect some of these things to happen. Like plug and play, go. You still have some sort of identity. Your identity might shift. Boom. With the Kings, it was their identity was already gone and lost even in the beginning of the season, right? Like with even under Mike Brown, right?
They were missing so many shots. They were not playing the same.
It was like, we couldn't even say that, oh, they're a good shooting team. They had shooters track record wise on this team, but they couldn't even buy a bucket. Everything was clunky. So my point to that being there was no identity going in. Then head coach gets fired. So then you have a new coach coming in with a different type of identity. And then you have a franchise player traded away trying to create this identity with a team that's already still, I don't mean to offend, but mid, like truly.
Yeah, I think they, I do think since the deadline, they have improved the talent level on this team. I do think from a talent perspective with the depth, like with Laravia.
I agree. I'm not.
Valanciunas. So I guess my point being there is.
Identity.
It's the, yes,
that's
for
what
sure.
I'm saying. I'm saying the same. I wasn't acting like just because it's not Jimmy Butler doesn't mean that they didn't add talented pieces. Absolutely, they added talented pieces to this roster. And I think they can figure out an identity, but maybe that's where you figure it out is in a training camp, enough time together,
wow. Yeah.
You know, and even where you do have some miscast players, you figure out those miscast tweaks in the offseason, going into training camp.
The one thing that I know it's been brought up a lot, and I'm with it, and I saw it tonight. I think Keon's got to be in the lineup. And I was mixed on it at first weeks back because I'm like, Malik Monk, his playmaking, all that. I think with this particular team, how it's constructed and what you need, I think Keon being out there is essential. You know, when they put him out there in the second quarter tonight, They take Monk out. The Kings are down 16, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They take out Monk, and then they end up taking out Levine the final 5-33 and played Keon and Monk together. All of a sudden, at the half, it's a 10-point game.
Yeah.
And Keon's impact was felt out there. I mean, just having another guy that go out there and fly around.
Two-way.
Deflections, a two-way guy who's hitting shots. I thought tonight he had some. How about that crossover he had late in this game and attacked the basket? He ends up with 18 points. He had 4 assists. He had a steal, 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 8 from downtown. I just think about what this team needs, and I'm like, look, the guy makes winning plays. And right now, with the team you have, having Keon and Keegan out there seems like it's essential. And I understand like the Malik dynamic. He may not be happy about it. It doesn't mean he can't play a big role. I think he has been struggling lately too.
Couple things. We need to preface all of this with, I'm definitely not against that at all. But I also do believe, and I heard Doug Christie say this tonight in a postgame presser, when a guy is injured and they're trying to figure some shit out and get back into the flow of things, they're going to have their hit or misses. He's a guy that's trying to figure out his flow of things and he's having his hit or misses. Fair, right? Then we also look at the big picture. There's 18 games left now, 17, whatever, however many games there are left in the season. And I think we're all here trying to get like solution based. I don't think there's necessarily going to be a solution to the end of this season. I think this team is what they are, or they are what they are. If they somehow make some magical push and end up in that 7-8, amazing. They got to land 9-10.
They lost 6 tonight. Confirmed. They're not coming back from this.
No. That was a dream of mine.
Even though
I know like factually with the numbers, blah, blah, they could do it. It's like, no. They're definitely not going to be the 6th seed. I think they're lucky if they stick around 9-10. Because they won't if they play like this shitty basketball. They won't. But my point is, when we go with that talking point, which I have no problem talking about it, I think sometimes our minds as fans, we all go into like solution based, where if this is even 20 games ago, I'm more invested in that conversation. I'm going, yeah, let's talk about it because we need another defender out there. Right from the start, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But I don't look at it like that.
I know you don't.
I
know.
I mean, even tonight, you saw a good example of this. Valanciunas starts this game. He played a minute 10 in the second half. Christie goes with Trey Lyles. Like you make tweaks to try to figure out ways to win games now, because
sure,
the mission, whether people agree with it or not, the mission is to win these games and get into the playoffs, whether that's via play-in or otherwise. And now it's going to be play-in in all likelihood. You're 4.5 out of 6 now. Like, good luck, especially with the schedule coming up. So get off to better starts. And it doesn't mean Malik can't come in quick. It doesn't mean he can't play 30 plus minutes and be a huge impact there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about getting off to better starts. And Malik, I'm not concerned about Malik missing shots. Like, that's the last of my concerns. I want him to make good decisions out there. And I thought the start of this game in the first quarter, Monk and Levine made very poor decisions, forcing passes into traffic early. The Kings got off to a terrible start tonight, not just because the Warriors were knocking down some threes, uncontested threes, it was because Sacramento had like five turnovers in the first few minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And it's not locking in. It's making, forcing tough looks. I felt like early on they were like trying to force feed it to Valanciunas. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, this has to be an opportunity for you to get downhill and be aggressive. Get to the free throw line. Take some contact. Stop trying to force shit inside just because Valanciunas is big and the Warriors seem undersized. Anyway, my point with Monk is like, it's the details of picking up Buddy Hield in transition when he has the ball. It's the details of not letting Guy Santos crash in there for a second chance opportunity. Like,
That's everyone. That doesn't matter who you are. That's just like...
Right, but that's not coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
Yes.
Wake up.
No. I completely agree with that. And that's like, obviously, not... I noticed those two plays you're talking about are him. But like, I guess I just think about it with everybody. I'm like, what are you trying to accomplish out there? Like, we think you want to win the game. And if you do want to win the game, like, control what you can control. Like, even if you do look at it like that and go, okay, well, then if you want to keep your starting spot, do the things. Do the right things.
Yeah, because those little things add up to be big things. Close out on some three-point shoots. It doesn't mean fly by them either, okay? I mean, there was one in the second half I loved. I forget who ran Buddy Hield off the line.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who it was. But they ran Buddy Hield off the line. Buddy puts a ball on the floor and throws up some off-balance bullshit. Yeah. Like, absolute horseshit shot. And it went in. But I'm like, yeah, I'll live with that. I don't want Buddy Hield getting uncontested threes, wide open threes.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that from Quint Post either or from Moses Moody. I can live with it sometimes with GP2. With Draymond, I got to be honest, I know he's not a great three-point shooter, but he seemingly gets more and more comfortable with them as the years go by.
Oh,
hit the big one against the Pistons. I do think coming into this game, he's shooting like 33-ish% from downtown.
Contest everyone.
But his confidence is high. And if he's open and he gets 37 minutes to shoot the ball,
right,
he's gonna take it and maybe knock him in. But yeah, tonight hurts, man. Tonight hurts in a big way. And it's... Not to sit here, and I hate doing this sometimes because I feel like when we do these shows, what happens is we talk so much about the Kings, and it's like we're downplaying what the Warriors have been doing. Like, since the trade, the Warriors are now 13-2. They're top five in both offense and defensive rating. You just see them flying around right now. I mean, the size is there, too. They are playing without Pajemski tonight.
Yeah.
Guy Santos's hustle, like, he played a big role in this game.
I think it's very important that you mentioned Steph Curry reaches 4,000 career three-pointers.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's again, nobody wants to talk about this right now. It's obviously a Kings post-game podcast, but holy shit. And of course he does it against the Kings. My God. On TNT. My God. But congratulations to Steph. It's incredible what he's been able to do.
But tonight was so much about the others. I mean, 18 from Kuminga. Guy Santos, perfect 4-4, by the way. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists in 17 minutes.
Yeah. Everyone was flicking, efficient. I mean, we did get, by the way, I'm letting you know, we did give the Warriors the love that they deserve about what type of team they are, the way that they're playing together, their mentality as a whole. It's not a fluke either, and it's not just because it's a bigger sample size. They're doing that consistently. Like, that's the way that they're dominating consistently. And it's just, I think it's just the most impressive turnaround that you would see for an entire team this late in the season.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me a bit of when the Kings traded Peja for Ron Artest. And the Kings at the time seemed lifeless. It was definitely a change over back then. It was 2005, 2006. They didn't look like they were going to make the playoffs. You know, Weber's already gone. They had signed Bonzi Wells. They had Sharif Abdur-Rahim. They still have Bibby, a young Kevin Martin. But they needed a jolt. And they swung. And they took a chance on Ron Artest.
Big swing.
And, dude, they played a different style.
Mm-hmm.
And they got red hot after the trade. And made the playoffs. Now, They end up just getting the 8 seed, get knocked out by the Spurs, and that started a 16-year playoff drought. A little different, but my point is like, it's sometimes these mid-season trades can just boom. If you get the right guy and you hit, it can take you to another level. And Jimmy has done that for this group. You know, he's even tonight. I mean, he had 7 assists. He didn't have to score to have an impact on the game. Like defensively, he's still doing it, and that's what you notice is when you see a lineup out there that's got Draymond, who does what he does defensively, with Jimmy Butler. Quint Post has good size. Moses Moody, they put him on point guards. Like, he's defending Malik Monk out there tonight, and he's got such good size. You just look around and see, okay, well, now Steph has some legit help.
Yeah.
And you see that Jimmy Butler has been a proven playoff riser. This team does look scarier and scarier. So we'll see what it all looks like as it unfolds, but you know, Steph is still Steph, and now it seems like you got some young pieces out there that if they can, when the lights get brighter, if they can contribute, the Warriors are going to be pretty scary. And it's crazy to think, the last time the Kings played the Warriors, when they came to Sacramento and slapped around the Kings, Sacramento, Golden State, that night had the same record. They were both 28 and 27. Here we are now, Sacramento is 33 and 32, Golden State 38 and 28.
So good. I was mixing the two. And now the Kings take on the Phoenix Suns in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
After that. And here you go. It's just, what?
I do remember what I want to ask you about, too.
What?
With LaVine. Zach LaVine cannot have a game where he takes only 6 shots. It just can't happen. 6 shots.
I don't get it. I don't get, like, he's not being guarded like Steph.
Well, not like Steph. They definitely were into him.
Sure. But like you gotta either your team has to do a better job of helping create something else for you while you're also doing the same for yourself.
LaVine in this game, 14 points on 5 of 6 shooting, is 4 of 4 from downtown, had 5 turnovers. Malik, 3 of 13, 7 points, 6 assists, 4 turnovers. So those two combined for 9 of Sacramento's 15 turnovers in this game. The leading scorer tonight for Sacramento was DeMar DeRozan, who had 23 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Keon Ellis off the bench had 18 points for the Kings. We'll get to some bright spots, I guess, too, at some point.
Like what?
I can come up with some.
I don't feel, there's nothing bright.
Morgan.
The brightest thing is taking on the Phoenix Suns tomorrow in Arizona.
I get it, because the Suns.
Thank you.
Good job. There's 0 bright spots for you tonight.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about the things that we've already talked about. Like, I don't think I'm being too harsh. I am very realistic with so many losses. I said I would be fine with this being a loss if the style of play, the product out there, was much different.
Let's get to some super chats. Robin donates $2 saying, at least the bag over my head will be purple. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Jacob says, where do we go from here?
Oh, God. Sorry, Jacob.
You know what? It's a deep question.
We go to Arizona.
We just go to Arizona. Or we just, come together here, vent, discuss, and laugh so we don't cry. Ben, is 2 times playmakers, not 3 or 1, 2 times defenders and 1 big. Is that too much to ask? Okay, he says 2 defenders, 2 playmakers and 1 big. Is that too much to ask? The roster isn't trash. The rotations are absolutely trash. Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you put Keon and Keegan out there. There you go. 2 guys who have the ability to knock down threes and play defense. DeMar and LaVine can make things happen with Sabonis. Okay, it's not perfect. There's no perfect solution, but there's tweaks that could be made that could improve it, in my opinion. Ashley donates $10. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Ashley. Yeah.
Could you briefly discuss the King's trauma just got here and my girlfriend is not? Why this game could be traumatic for a Kings fan, as people who do speak to people as a new fan may help her get to what she is in for. It's a lot there. To sum it up, you're trying to get her to understand, like, why is this such a big deal? Blah, blah, blah. Tonight's not traumatic. Okay, let's get something. It's not traumatic.
Triggering?
Oh, you know what it is? It just depressing? Sucks. It sucks. Because 2 years ago, I was like, what a year. What a come up. It was so fun. And in my head, I truly believed. In my head, I believe. Not like Homer stuff. And now I'm questioning myself. Maybe I am too much of a Homer. I believed that this was about to be a good 5-6 year run for the Kings.
Oh, that's Homer.
And I'm not saying championship run. I was like, yeah. Hey, this is going to be a championship team.
Just
I
like went, good you know basketball.
What? We're going to see some good basketball here. They play a fun style. You make some tweaks with the roster. We'll have some playoff runs here, and it's going to be fun. And 2 years later, it's so different.
They
don't play the same style. They've got the different coach. They've got different players.
I was expecting a couple, not 5-6, but I was expecting a couple. I mean, your grandma literally sacrificed her life for that beam team.
That's true. For those who don't know, my grandma died the night the Kings lost to the Memphis Grizzlies and fell to 0-4 in Mike Brown's first season, and the Kings went on to win 48 games. So, yeah.
Thank you, Grandma.
James donates $20. I moved to Sacramento 2 months ago. The Kings have played bad since I moved. Should I move back home? James? You should consider it.
Stop donating money to us and start saving up for your new move.
No, here's why. Because I've got some breaking news for you at this hour. 10 winning seasons in 39 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you. It's us.
Yeah.
It's us. But Ashley, going back to your thing, I mean, look, this is part of being a Kings fan. We've just been tortured and we've seen a lot of tough times, right? Like, I mean, we can go over it. I mean, here's a fast forward sample of it for your girlfriend. Moved here in 1985, made the playoffs, didn't make it again until 96, lost to the Sonics. Then they had more bad years, traded Mitch Richmond for Chris Webber, had 8 straight years of playoffs, almost won a championship. They were so close. Next year, Webber goes down, knee injury. Oh, window starts to close. 06, they make the playoffs for the final time. Don't make it again until 2023. That's a long-ass time. Then the next year, when everyone has high hopes, they could build from a 7-game series with the Golden State Warriors, they lose in the play-in, and it looks like it could be headed that way again. How many playoff appearances have we seen? Not that many in Sacramento Kings history. So it is just tough. We've seen 10 playoff appearances in 39 years, I think it is. 10 playoff appearances?
You know, sometimes I try to think of, I try to compare other teams, and I'll be like, you know, there's however many other teams that don't make the playoffs either, blah, blah. But I'm like, if you just look at when they made the playoffs and the winning seasons and all the different things, it's like, no, Kings and Kings fans, like, have it the worst. Like, no one can ever compare. And that's why when shit is good, all of you, I'm pointing at all of you, better soak it up and enjoy every fucking good moment. I swear to God.
We should also sprinkle in there that there are multiple times it looked like the Kings could be moving. So that's another thing to pass along to your girlfriend.
Yeah, pass that one along.
Yeah. We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. Yeah. We'll look ahead to the Kings' quick turnaround against the Phoenix Suns and some optimism, maybe. We'll discuss that. A number that could make you a little excited about the matchup with the Suns. But we should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. Oh,
thank goodness we have partnered with Centivo Vineyards and Winery, because not only are they the best wine, it does heal me a little bit after losses, but it also tastes really good after wins. So no matter what time it is, you're just going to love Centivo wines. And if you want your own, you can go to their website, centivovineyards.com. You can become a wine club member, because there's so many perks to that as well, because they are partnered with the Sacramento Kings.
Also presented tonight by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One. This one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You can scan that QR code on the screen to see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. But that's not all. You can enjoy some exclusive Kings perks, up to 50% off Kings home games through the Golden One online discount ticket portal. How about 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings Team Store. The chance to win courtside and lower bowl seat upgrades too? Insane. That's how you win as one at Golden One. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Medic Ambulance.
Woo-woo! We're thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. For over 45 years, Medic Ambulance has set the standard in emergency medical services, combining cutting-edge technology, award-winning service, and a deep commitment to community care. Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Sac State Athletics. You can learn more at medicambulance.net.
Appreciate everyone's support of the Deuce and Bo podcast. Morgan Reagan, who would be your simply the best player of the game tonight?
I'm going to give
presented by
Northwest Exteriors. I'm going to give it to Steph Curry.
Wow, that's who you're going with.
Only because of his, 4,000 career threes. Only because of that. Yeah. It's so impressive.
Morgan, that's who I went with.
Yay!
Simply the best player of the game. Steph Curry, the first player to reach 4,000 career three-point makes. It's crazy, too, when you look at the list. It's just insane.
Yeah.
These are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. They're celebrating 30 years. You could upgrade your window system during their 30th anniversary sale. Purchase 9 windows and a patio door for a huge discount. 100% financing available. Call for details or go to their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Just Northwest.
I was holding my breath.
Looking at the Steph Curry, to put some perspective on this, and I know they did on the broadcast, but Steph Curry, his 4,000th career three-pointer today. He also turns 37 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Number two on the list is James Harden.
Where is he at?
3,127.
Won't reach it.
Third was Ray Allen. Breaking news. Not reaching it.
Nope.
He finished with 2,973. Number four is Dame Lillard. 2,792. Steph's at 4,000.
That's
his
wild.
Old Splash brother teammate, Klay Thompson, is fifth. 2,667. Like, 4,000 threes, never say never because sports can evolve.
Sure.
Good luck to anyone trying to go after that record. It just seems like one of those records that is unbreakable.
It does. It's like you said, never say never, but it seems pretty unbreakable. I mean, and this is a guy that it's not like he's shooting a three every possession. He does so many other things on the floor and on the offensive end and moving without the basketball. It's just wildly, wildly impressive. So, yeah, got to give him his love.
Insane. Just insane. And you're just looking at some of the active players. You're like, these guys are
no
hit a lot of threes.
Mm-mm. It's going to, yeah, I don't know who it's going to be.
It's over.
Oh.
Andre Stojakovic from Cal.
There you go.
Your son who had 37 yesterday.
How many threes?
I don't know.
I know.
I wasn't watching.
I was just seeing how you're going to react to that.
All right. So up next for the Sacramento Kings, they take on the Phoenix Suns. The Suns coming into, or at least after tonight's results, they are in 11th.
Mm-hmm.
They are 3.5 behind the Kings for 9. And they are 2.5 behind the Mavericks for 10. They win tomorrow night against Sacramento. They're only 2.5 behind the Kings with one more game to play against Sacramento, the final game of the year. Tomorrow is so crucial for the Sacramento Kings. It's so crucial because the separation it would give you.
Yes.
You would be up 4.5 on the Suns and you would clinch the tiebreaker against the Suns. So even the craziest scenario, Suns get back in it, you fall apart.
Yeah.
The Suns' record, by the way, or the Suns' schedule is tougher than the Sacramento Kings' schedule down the stretch. They have the toughest schedule in the league the rest of the way.
That's crazy.
So even if they were to tie Sacramento, you got the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want that.
No. And I don't care how the Kings win. I don't care if it's the ugliest game in the world. I don't care if you have to punch someone in the face. Get the win.
The Suns are 4-11 in their last 15. dead last in defensive rating during that span.
Yeah.
They'll be without Plumlee.
Oh, yep.
After he got into with Steven Adams, I'm guessing a suspension is coming there.
Okay.
Nick Richards missed the last game, so they're a little thin up front. They may have to go small, too. We don't know if Sabonis is going to be able to go. That's the big question mark. But I don't know. This Suns team has been a mess this year. But you look at their games recently, and they've played a lot of close games. And the way Sacramento's playing defense right now, good luck.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So yep. it's going to be a fascinating one. And like the Kings aren't out of the woods yet. You know, they're trying to be in this play-in. But this schedule is tough. It is this 7-game homestand after the
That's
Phoenix game is brutal.
It's brutal. And again, it goes to how bad do you want it against a Phoenix Suns team that has had their ups and downs that could be a little shorthanded. Whatever that they're feeling desperate, though. Are you going to feel more desperate to do whatever you can on the floor to make sure that you get the W? Like, it's not about who's starting tomorrow. It's not about what your strategy is. I truly feel like it's one of those cliche sports thing of like, who wants it more tomorrow?
Yeah.
That's where you're coming down to in a game like this against the Suns on a Friday night, which makes it ultimately super fun, right? It can be. But it's the second night of a back-to-back too for the Kings. And how many times do all of us on the sidelines just say, I don't care if it's 3 games in a row. Like, that would never happen. But my point is like, you figure it out. Like, you dig deep within, even if your legs are giving out on you. Okay, what else can you contribute? Like, you got it. You have to make sure that if you don't have one tool, that you can still give something else.
The Kings, after tonight, they are 1.5 behind. You just kicked me.
Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, wow.
That was really hard.
I thought it was Jebediah.
Why'd you do that to me? Is that on purpose?
Literally, I mean,
you watch your foot, dude.
Don't, I know, I've been violent tonight. I've been talking about punching people in the face.
Yeah, and then you just like kick me. Like, what's next? Dude, are you good? Sacramento is 2.5 behind the LA Clippers for the 8th spot. That's still my dream, is get that 8th spot. And it's still there. I mean, it is.
I know.
Tomorrow night, go Hawks. Go Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
We need to be going, hey, let's go. Because if they lose, the Kings win, all of a sudden...
Huge Hawks fans tomorrow.
Huge Hawks fans tomorrow.
Bring your Hawks jerseys. Gather around for our post-game pod.
Yeah. We're going live after the Hawks Clippers game. But yeah, I mean, I think the 8th is it's still technically there. But I mean, of course, I mean, we're getting later and later in the season here. And the schedule is really, really tough. And I would really love to avoid the 9-10. And that's for obvious reasons. It's almost like I don't care because one game is just too tricky. One game, anything can happen. And I know some people go, yeah, but the Suns have been bad. If you played the Suns, do you want to see Kevin Durant and Devin Booker in a one-game win or go home
game?
No. I wasn't excited about seeing Steph Curry and Klay Thompson last year. It worked out. The next game, you got clapped. That's why you need to not be in the 9-10 if you want a chance for a playoff series. And if not, well, you know what? We'll figure it out like we always do. We'll buckle up together and we'll get through this together because we got Phoenix tomorrow. The homestand is Memphis, Cleveland, Chicago. That's a back-to-back. Then Milwaukee on Saturday, 3 games in 4 nights. Oh, and then Monday, Boston to town. The next night, Oklahoma City. It doesn't even count as a homestand. That's a gauntlet you have to go through.
A gauntlet.
If you get through that.
Yeah. It's like, what is that show called? American Ninja Warrior.
Sure.
Is that when they like, and so they have to go through certain steps like that. OKC is the finish line. When you do the last thing, whatever it is that they do, that's super difficult to get over and to be like, ding, ding, ding. Not even the end of the season. Just get over OKC.
You seem like a big American Ninja Warrior fan with saying, yeah, at the end when they have to get over that like thing.
Well, because don't they change it up? Or is it always the same?
I don't know. I obviously don't know. I've seen the show like four times.
I mean, it's like, I feel like they just always have reruns on some channel or something that I used to watch all the time in a hospital or something. I don't know. Sorry for bringing that show up. It's obviously.
No, I'm just thinking like, I was thinking about this season, what we've been through. Actually, Stan Van Gundy brought up on the broadcast too. Not what we've been
I know,
through.
I was going to say, we're okay.
He's like, yeah, Deuce and Mo and those Kings fans have been through a lot this year. But he was making the point that Doug Christie has gone through more this year than coaches go through in like 5 years. He's like, wait, you take over interim, which is already a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. You trade your franchise guy, De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. Then you have to add all these new pieces. And, oh, you're trying to win. He's like, this is, and you're dealing with injuries now. And with Sabonis, and now, you know, Monk's back now. But you are dealing with things that most coaches don't see in a couple of years. You're doing it as an interim coach.
And it's not even like your coaching staff. And not to say it is that for other interims, but, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just like all these added situations. It's a lot, but sometimes you get shit thrown at you and you got to figure it out, huh?
I guess my point was going to be, was tonight's podcast the most negative we have been on a podcast this year?
Me, yes, and I don't care. I feel,
yeah, no one's... I'm
I don't care,
saying,
I'll punch you in the face!
Relax over
not
there.
Not you. Me, yes. I felt it. I don't think in my criticism, I don't think I was unfair. Even if I was harsh, I didn't say anything mean.
Wow, you are really overanalyzing this. I just asked a simple question. Like,
oh, no,
like this
I'm just
the most negative.
I'm not overanalyzing it. I'm just breaking down my negative analysis night because I have positive things to say, even in all those losses that we saw, except the Knicks one. That was the first one I finally was like, barf. But with this one, it was truly just so bad for me. I couldn't find a bright side. Nothing.
I do have a couple of bright spots. I thought Jake LaRavia was really good tonight. I liked what he provided. He was aggressive. He had 13 points. I thought Keon Ellis, we already mentioned him, just turned into a really good player and one of the great success stories for Sacramento in, on a developmental front as a two-way undrafted guy. Trey Lyles had some good minutes tonight. So yeah, not a lot, but
I like those things and I don't disagree with them.
Thank you.
I'm just like, do that next game too.
You're fired up, dude.
I am because like there's just not enough time left. And like, I don't know, for me in my mindset with anything I do, there's just so much passion and pride that I do things with. And I do feel like, too, like I've been slower on just posting certain content things as we get like to the end of the season. And I was getting down on myself about it. And I'm like, just push through and do it. And I'm like, girl, you're still doing other things. You're like working on your mental health. You're working on you. Like, just because you're not doing one thing, you're doing another. And that's all I want from these players and these people. If you're not doing one thing, if you're not making your shots, just make sure you're doing the other thing.
Have like an impact.
What else are you doing to make sure that you're bettering yourself or your teammates? Like, that's all I want. And maybe you're doing things behind the scenes I'm not seeing, you know, like, absolutely. But, like, do more in the live performance of the game, too.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know. I'll be better. Give me a better game tomorrow.
Final thoughts for me. We'll be on a back-to-back tomorrow, right?
Yes, we will. Yeah.
Kings take on the Suns. You'll be in San Francisco. I'll be here. My least favorite thing.
I know. Especially, ugh.
All is not lost.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 33-32.
I'm with you.
It's not ideal. It's not.
Not ideal.
But we'll play a game real fast. If the Kings won tonight, we would be feeling great, right?
Yeah.
And but if they followed it up with a loss tomorrow, we'd be like, ugh, we'd be so down, okay? So
how down, though? As down as I am now?
You might be. The Suns have not been playing well, and they're trying to chase you. Yeah, yeah. You'd probably be pretty down. Like, why couldn't they do it on the second half?
I love beating the Warriors on TNT.
It doesn't matter. My whole point is, tomorrow's a new day, and it's a good opportunity. All right, you have no choice but to move on. You got to play a game tomorrow on the road, and then you're back home for 7 games. And it looks daunting, but all you could do is, all right, first game, check. Second game, check. It could go bad fast.
Yeah.
And you could be not excited long term about this team. That's fine. But I'm here right now.
I like it.
I'm here right now. And I'm like, let's get there. Let's figure it out. You're not out of the 8th spot yet. Mm. Hopefully Sabonis can come back next week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not rushing. Even tomorrow, I'm like, don't rush it. Come back next week. Let's settle some shit down.
Love it.
Sabonis is a really good player. They missed him on Sabonis.
I agree.
And I think there was a stretch where some were like, do they really miss this guy? Because Valanciunas is playing well.
Yeah.
Valanciunas is a good player in this league.
Agreed.
He started in this league.
Mm-hmm.
But he can get exposed at times in matchups like this. Okay. Correct. That's why he didn't play a ton. But he's very valuable to this team. He gets Sabonis back, settle it down, yeah, and let's keep this moving. Let's finish strong.
Just my little upset night. I got upset.
I'm not criticizing your upset night. This is nothing to do with it.
No, I know. I was just stating that for myself because then I'm feeling upset about my upset night.
You're so funny.
I know.
And you get on me for overanalyzing the podcast.
No, I overthink myself. I'm an external processor. So sometimes I just say a whole bunch of things as I'm processing them. Not sometimes, like all the time.
I mean, I do that too.
Yeah, but I feel like I can find a lot of the good in bad things, but then when you just give me bad, like, what am I supposed to do?
Like Steven saying, Kings cannot beat good teams. At this point, you're right. They got to prove that.
As of right now.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the last few games against really good teams. Denver couldn't get it done. Clippers couldn't get it done.
Mm. Mm.
Knicks. Warriors. And tomorrow, the Suns, they're not even good. They're 30 and 35. They're not even a good team, but they've got some really amazing talent, right?
Yeah. And you're all amazing in the chat, too. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And guess what? If it all goes to shit.
What?
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Hey, we'll be back next year.
We're going to come together and figure this shit out and go, okay, we're going to bitch about it. We're going to celebrate things, get way too excited about a signing or way too upset about this.
Oh, I love.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
And we're just going to be here for it because that's what sports is. And hopefully one of these days, the basketball gods, whoever, like, can reward all of us who've watched this shit for a long time.
I'm not asking for much.
In the meantime, let's hope for something unpredictable.
I like it.
Because that's what sports is. You never know what can happen. And maybe, just maybe, the switch turns on and let's go and have some fun and get swept in the first round.
Hey!
But I don't care. Let's get back to the playoffs.
Get to the playoffs.
No, seriously, we appreciate you guys so, so, so much. Make sure to hit us in the comments after the show. We'll be back live again tomorrow night, but we got to go.
Love you all so much. You have a great rest of your night. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.